The government's planning to spend billions of dollars on new roads under a transport plan proposed last month, including $500 million on road maintenance and a so-called pothole prevention fund alone. There have been growing concerns around the scale and severity of damage on roads in certain parts of the country, particularly Northland and the east coast of the North Island, and also around the need for re-repair. Late last year, Gisborne farmer James Brownlee was with us.
The new seal is stripping on the hillsides and in the holes. So strips of it, sort of up to a metre long, are just lifting, exposing the aggregate underneath. And where there have been dig outs that have been done properly, dug out, consolidated, rolled and resealed, it's breaking up and going back to potholes within weeks of being done.
So We've waited a
long time for these repairs, and it's very disappointing to see them breaking so quickly after being done.
Jim, just describe the roads to me. They're local roads. You're in a rural setting, so they're just one lane. And we're not talking about the sides cracking. We're talking the middle of the road where there's a dotted line. We're talking right there that you're seeing this happening.
Yes, that's right. Well, we don't have the privilege of having roads wide enough for a dotted line, but it is in the middle, in the main,
right,
the main centre parts of the carriageway or pavement.
Now, tell me about the dig-outs. Tell me about the damage that was, and then what's gone into trying to pre-prepare the road for sealing. What's happened?
Well, one section of road where we have, since the cyclones, we've towed 87 truck and trailers up a hill with our tractor and with a council loader that they very kindly lend the locals to do it. The council has gone to a lot of expense in properly preparing a foundation there and sealing that hill. It did break up reasonably quickly, and we did put that down to it being a job done in the winter when it was wet. So they came back once it fined up and got warm, re-prepared it and sealed it again. And the second seal is now lifting.
That is Gisborne farmer James Brownlee. Well, at that time, back late last year, the New Zealand Transport Agency, Waka Kotahi, told us it was aware that roads in the Wairoa, Gisborne and Hawke's Bay region had shown signs of bleeding seal or sticky surfaces. It said bleeding seal wasn't an East Coast-specific occurrence. NZTA said the weather could be a contributing factor. It told us all bitumen is now imported into New Zealand from overseas refineries and continues to meet the standards specified by Waka Kotahi, the Transport Agency. Farmer James Brownlee's questions around the repairs in his district and the need for them to be redone sparked a huge response from you right around the country, including truck drivers, commuters and others, on your experiences with road repairs or upgrades seemingly needing repair within a short space of time. Many of you had questions about the type of bitumen being used and whether this is a factor. Shortly we'll speak to David Keats, who was the final chief executive at the Marsden Point refinery before its closure. Marsden Point used to supply bitumen and also brought up to standard any imported batches that fell below specification. First, though, to discuss the concerns of James Brownlee and other farmers in the Gisborne area, we welcome Tim Barry, Director of Community Lifelines for Gisborne District Council. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Kevin.
So we're talking local roads here. How do you answer some of what James Brownlee's raised there?
Well, I'd like to initially start with mentioning that bitumen, if it meets specification, we have total confidence that it'll do that. It'll do the job it's needed to do. It'll meet requirements. And what we need to understand is it will only perform as well as the aggregate surface it's sprayed onto. So if that surface is too wet, then forget it. It's going to come out again. If it's too bony, it might absorb bitumen, leaving too little for aggregate to for chip seal to be added to later. If it's too fatty or has fines on top, it might peel off, much like you would if you were painting your wall and you hadn't wiped away what you'd sanded. So added to that, we've got seasonal temperamentality, so moisture differentials, spray rate, bitumen mix and ambient temperatures all come into play in the art of getting this right. If those works were done last year, it's more likely to tend towards the ground conditions being wet and the water finding its way in, and then eventually that material peeling off. But the specification of the bitumen itself is not a question.
So as you said, first it was done in the winter and it was wet, and then it was done in the season where it was warmer and still failed, Tim.
Yeah, once the sealing has failed, there's every chance that there's still a lot of moisture in the ground, and it's certainly the case in Te Tai Rāwhiti last year that effective repairs of this nature were unachievable. A really, really low rate of performance in making these elements stick because of the extreme weather conditions. We had 9 rain events. Many concentrate on hail and Gabrielle, but through the year we had 9, so there was never good and appropriate ground conditions to undertake the type of work that was described by Mr. Brownlee.
What other factors would you put into what he and others in the district are saying about how the roads just don't seem to last as well as they used to? What would you say are the factors with the dissatisfaction that people are experiencing that you can shed some light on?
The dissatisfaction people are experiencing with us is road surfaces are a big concern, mostly around safety, ability for school buses, etc., to get around. They don't see factors, they see inefficiencies in repair. Whether that's credible or not, they see inefficiencies. Factors I would say is long-term investment in roading corridors. There seems to be good evidence that it's been underinvested for some period of time. Te Waihanga, the Infrastructure Commission, issued a report that demonstrated that earlier this year. Peter Nunn's presented on that on Radio New Zealand, I believe, about a long-term underinvestment. We've got massive loadings hitting our roads. Repurposing of in last year of our secondary corridors for main corridors, because we lost State Highway 2, we lost State Highway 35, so a lot of heavy traffic. Heavy traffic is another factor. We've got 50-ton plus forestry vehicles moving on roads that were never prepared for it. We've got a minimal runway in preparing some of those roads in advance of such works. We had COVID-esque sort of needs to keep industry moving last year, even though the roads were in such poor condition. So there's a number of factors, not just one, Catherine.
All right. OK, stay with us if you can, Tim. Let's welcome our next guest now, David Keat. I just want to move this a bit more broadly to a lot of the feedback that we had from all sorts, including people who regularly use roads, regular truckies, and I'm not talking about the big, heavy articulated trucks. I know that's an issue in itself, but just regular truckies who have driven the same stretches of road for many years and perceive the repairs are happening and being redone. David Keat was the final chief executive at the Marsden Point refinery before its closure. It, as I said, used to supply bitumen. About 70%, I think, of the bitumen was also brought up to standard any imported batches that fell below specification. And we're going to put to him some of the specific questions you raised. David, good morning.
Good morning. I just did clarification. I was the final refining manager, not the chief executive.
Oh, well, that was a mistake, wasn't it?
No worries.
Thank you. All right. Look, let's talk about the bitumen itself. Has the bitumen that's used on state highways and or local roads, has the type of bitumen changed? And I'm not just talking about here whether it's imported or not, but has it changed in recent years?
I can't answer specifically because I don't know what the test results are, but in theory, no, because Wakatahi haven't changed the specifications. The specifications are quite broad, but the important points are that the bitumen has to be made from a certain family of crudes, and there's a couple of key specifications. As long as the bitumen is made from the right crudes and treated properly, it should be as good as the old stuff.
Let me throw you some random questions, and these are what they are from listeners. This was from a listener in Northland who was worried about a road being redone. It's a road that's got logging trucks on it. He spoke to the local gang and said there's no way that's going to hold, and they said it will. We got permission to use the old 180 over 200, and so it will last. This sits alongside questions about people saying they've switched to a more environmentally kind of bitumen and talked about bitumen emulsifier. Does any of this make sense to you? I had a look on the Ausroads website and could see they were different products and that they were laid differently. Can you shed any light, David?
Yeah, the 180-200 refers to, when you say bitumen, there has to be two things. Bitumen has to be strong enough so that it doesn't go squidgy and when the trucks drive over it, and also flexible enough so it doesn't crack. So there are two key specifications. The ductility, which is how flexible it is, which is the same for all the bitumen grades, and the penetration, which is what that 180-200 refers to. That's how deep a test needle goes into the bitumen. So the 180-200 is actually the softer grade. The refinery used to make 180-200 and 45-55, which is the harder grade. And the basic idea is you use more of the harder grade in places like Northland with hot summer temperatures because it deforms less at higher temperatures. So it's possible they were using the softer grade in the Northland when they should have been using the harder grade. I should say, though, that the bitumen which is imported is not necessarily the bitumen that goes on the road, because the roading process adds binders and other materials to it, obviously gravel and asphalt, so hard materials, to build up the road. So it's not a simple one material. The other part of your question, the emulsification, all that is bitumen mixed with water. As you know, oil and water don't mix. They separate very cleanly. But if you spin them very, very fast in a centrifuge, the water can enter the hydrocarbon phase and it forms an emulsion. The common example is shaving cream, which is a light oil and water as a mixture. A bitumen emulsion can be at a slightly lower temperature and is more sticky. So that's pretty much what they use on chip seal, I think. They put the chips down and then they spread the bitumen emulsion over the top of it. The question of whether it's environmentally better, I think, is a bit of greenwashing. Yes, it's got water in it versus hydrocarbons, but the whole material is pretty stable unless it breaks down under heavy traffic, and then you're talking about particles of bitumen. Whether it's got water in it or not is not very important.
It doesn't release water, which was one question?
No, not really. It's bound in there.
The likes of Dome Valley, which became very newsworthy a while back with cars ending up, frankly, getting seriously damaged. Do you have any theory on that? Because, again, the question comes up about the particular weather conditions, David. And we know last summer we had a very hot and a very wet summer from memory. I can't recall the one before. But can you speak more to this idea that the weather conditions play a very big role in whether a surfacing goes well or not well?
Oh, it does. I think Tim covered it quite well just a minute ago before me. I understand, I'm not a roading engineer, but I understand that the bitumen emulsion can be laid in slightly wetter conditions and still retain its stickiness, whereas normal bitumen doesn't need dry weather. I would point, though, to the weight of the traffic as being a huge variable in all of this rather than the bitumen. Obviously, the workmanship is a factor, but assuming the workmanship is not in question, then the weight of the traffic is a huge variable.
But look, I know you're going to go there because we had changes in 2010 and again in 2016 that enabled and allowed larger and heavier trucks on our state highways. But that doesn't explain why something would fail within months, or why chip seal is bleeding and throwing up and sticking to cars in Dome Valley, would it?
No, it does sound like the roading engineer designing that particular bit of road, or the contractor, have not got quite the right mixture of bitumen and other components for that service. Or, as Tim referred to, the base underneath the road it was substandard for other reasons. It's either subsided or cyclone damage or whatever. So the bitumen, you can lay as much bitumen on top of a hole as you like, but it's not going to stay long. So it's possible there are other variables involved.
One final question before I come to our NZTA Waka Kotahi spokesman. Others saying, OK, so the bitumen that's imported still meets specifications. Does that mean it is as good as, it reaches the same threshold as what we either use to produce here or upgrade at Marsden Point? Could you comment?
I could say it should be. I referred to it earlier that to make bitumen is a bit of an art, really. You need the right crude and then you need to treat it properly. And there's no reason to believe the overseas refineries aren't doing that as well. However, it's possible to have, a bit of the wrong sort of crude in the mix and it might give a small defect, but I wouldn't put a lot of weight on those theories. I think the problems we're having are more to do with weather and application and, as I said, as the truck loading thing.
Thanks very much, David Keats, who is the former, what was your title?
Refining manager.
Refining manager at Marsden Point. 13 minutes to 10 now with us, and thank you for it, Mark Owen, who's New Zealand Transport Agency's Regional Manager of Maintenance and Operations. Mark, thanks for coming in. First, does Waka Kotahi keep data on road sealing failures or re-repair rates? And we're talking about those re-repairs that need to happen within months, probably, or certainly within a not expected time frame. Do you keep the numbers?
Yes, good morning, Catherine. It's worth noting that there's a difference between what we're doing from a highway perspective and the 60-odd councils that look after a large percentage of the New Zealand road network. But certainly from our side, our suppliers do keep records on the repairs that are required to and the failures that they've had. And so we keep those in what we call a RAM database.
Does that indicate a more frequent or, does it indicate a worse re-repair rate than in the past, however you measure it, whether it's frequency or scale of failure or whatever?
And I think we're talking about, there's so many different types of failures out there versus a lot of people talking about potholes, but we're also talking about chip seal failures. We've got sort of string or the stones have come off immediately.
It's where stuff's been done, yes. And then it seems like it's either failing again or needs redoing. Yep. Do we have an indicator of whether that's getting worse?
I suppose the key thing is just to first recognise that for sealing, it's both an art and a science. So we put a lot of design effort into getting the right design, but it does come down to what happens on the day. We shouldn't see failures immediately after the surface has been resealed. It's a very expensive layer that's been put on the road. So obviously something has gone wrong with the process, but it does depend on the weather on the day, the application rate.
Understood. But do your numbers show that failure rate, as we've just defined it, is getting worse?
Well, certainly we're seeing a lot more wear and tear, and I think Tim made the point about the weather. The weather has certainly had a big impact. A lot of our roads need to be kept waterproof, and if there's water in under the underlying layers and that comes through, that can cause a lot of failures that we're seeing. And then certainly with the heavier trucks we've got on our road network, as soon as we get a crack, water gets in, then the road can start to fall apart.
There's a business case in at the moment for something called the CCDM, which looks to me like a big database of across the place, a big database keeping track of exactly what's going wrong. Here we are. A project called the Consistent Condition Data Collection, expected to start from July this year. Will it provide the kind of data needed to better assess performance of road laying and road repairs?
It certainly will for our council partners. This is an initiative that we put together to help councils gather.
So this is local roads?
This is local roads. From a highway perspective, we've been doing that for a number of years. We've got a piece of kit called a SCRIM, a sideways force coefficient routine investigation machine. For your listeners, it's just basically a big yellow type fire engine filled with water. It's got multiple lasers on it, and it measures the road roughness, texture and skid resistance, and it does the whole highway network annually.
So that's not about data, is that about it's about monitoring the condition of the road?
Monitoring the condition of the road every year, so we can do trend analysis, we can pick it up. It's a snapshot in time, happens over the some months, but they measure.
So I still don't think I've got out of you whether that trend analysis shows things, for whatever reason, getting worse, needing more frequent.
So that measures the overall condition at a snapshot in time. But then our contractors are out there monitoring regularly the condition of the road on a regular basis. And as soon as they have potholes that form, they'll have to go out and repair those and do multiple repairs if it is during the winter months when it's really wet. Because a lot of these.
So for the listeners who say this is getting worse, the roads that are getting done are needing to be repaired sooner, more often, more frequently, or we've got noticeable failures like they're splitting or chips are hitting my car. Are they onto something or not? What does the data say?
Well, that's why the government have recognised that we maybe haven't been investing as much in our roads as we should have over the last few years. So that's why in the new draft GPS they are putting more road into
it. But you see, this is the point. If they're going to spend billions on new roads, people want to know that money is not going to end up being re-spent anytime soon. So do we know whether we have an issue, whether it is driven by the changing weather conditions, the narrow windows for ideal conditions, the workmanship issue, or what we're using? Do we know whether the performance is heading in the wrong direction?
That's why we're absolutely focused in terms of the government giving us more money, and they've put certain conditions around improving
what conditions,
the quality.
What conditions have they put around it?
They put conditions around the length that they want us to resurface and the amount of pavement we need to rehabilitate. So we're below the levels that we would like to at the moment, which is why we're seeing a sort of a patch and repair type technique. So we're moving to more investing into digging up the road, redoing the pavement
right,
layers.
So the patching is suboptimal in itself.
Yes.
Because you need to start with the underlayers, do the underlayers properly, do all this stuff. The patching in itself is part of the problem.
Yes, and the main thing is the waterproofing. And you can, if you do a good patch and get it to be waterproofed, it should last. But the trouble is if it's not done well, and we've heard about the seal failures and if the road cracks.
So what prevents it being done well? Is it simply the timing and the weather, or is it a performance issue?
Oh, it's a combination of all of those sort of things. It's first of all, it's getting the design right. And as we heard about the bitumen supply is fine, but what happens is when it goes to a contractor, they can add additives in there that might help with the chip adhesion. They put diluents in there to help spraying on a given day, depending on the weather temperature. So all those, if they get the combination of those wrong, they put polymers in sometimes, which is, I think, the failure we saw when we saw
Should they be allowed to?
Well, they have to design it for the road environment, the traffic volumes, the weather. There's a whole combination of features that go into designing and delivering a good road surface.
Thank you. Mark Owen is with NZTA. Waka kotahi. Thank you, listeners, for all your questions and your feedback. Make of that what you will. It is certainly a complex series of factors there.